It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. It's midweek, we're toward the end of the season, and I think this is the time when we're harvesting. We're harvesting things that we've earned. We've harvested so much hard work that bloomed, that blossomed into the fruits of our labor, which now, I think, after all of this work, we're now just starting to see. For instance, Jason, what are you wearing today?
I got on a Falcons hoodie that I won in the gambling contest, thanks to the Sandman. Wearing Falcons gear in public probably doesn't count as winning, but we take what we can get.
Well, if we're on an agricultural theme, you know, last year was the Falcons reaping a wonderful harvest, and this year they're letting the field, you know, air out a little bit, regenerate. You don't have to grow every year, right?
Yeah, are there crops that only grow like every 4 or 5 years? Seems unlikely.
Yeah, it's called Auburn football. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's about the same.
It's good. It's definitely not a USDA regulated product. Auburn football.
This is a good pastoral image you've led us off here with, Spencer, but I think it's wrong. Because okay. I think this week is brought to you by Sheriff John Bunnell. It's the world's most dangerous college football week.
These teams thought they were going to be able to skate scot-free and steal a win.
These lowlifes swore they were going to get away with it this time.
This bad Buckeye thought he had an easy pass to the Big Ten championship game. Local Sheriff Mark D'Antonio saw differently.
Oh, someone man. Let loose a whole crate full of frogs on this young man's front lawn. So what did he do? He stepped on each and every one of them with his very fast feet.
If you don't know Sheriff John Bunnell, oh man, you should. You probably do already. Because Sheriff John Bunnell, he was the host of, I believe, was it America's Wildest Police Chases?
Yeah, or Most Dangerous. It was some superlative that you're like, maybe we shouldn't apply this to police chases.
Nope.
It was like 9 different cop propaganda shows.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, copaganda, if you will. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, this was World's Wildest Police Videos, and if you've never seen it, Sheriff John Bunnell, he's from Oregon, he was an actual sheriff, and he retired, and then when he retired, he decided to, do a little Hollywood, and most of what Sheriff John Bunnell does is walk through these fictional scenes right? If you've ever seen the show, he walks through these fictional scenes of cops rushing to a scene or something, right? Or cops getting in a helicopter. And the world's best internet video is an 8-minute montage, which is nothing but John Bunnell with a wipe of sirens in between each, like, each scene. It's just constantly John Bunnell doing these, like, awesome little monologues about, like, these guys thought the cops were pigs, but later they were the ones who were made into bacon. You know, like, that's... Mm-hmm.
Then he does that while, like, walking around a car and getting in. John Bunnell at the shooting range just unloads a whole clip, turns around, and tweets so sexy at himself.
So sexy!
Didn't he also do that? Wasn't that him?
Well, that's that's the best thing is that he has the best Twitter account because his Twitter just stops at a certain point where he is, like, kind of sexting slash propositioning this woman. And then I assume everybody was like, oh shit, Sheriff John out here trying to lay the pipe. And instead of just deleting his account or deleting the tweets, he just walked away. He just walked away forever and left it all intact.
Yep. This sexy sheriff thought he was going home with a classy lady. Instead, he logged off.
He thought it was a direct message. Instead, he directed the message to the world. Sheriff John Bunnell, if I could just share a few of my his favorite tweets. You know, tweets read aloud aren't exactly the best art form, but I think I can do these service.
You got to do them in the voice. You got to do them in the voice.
Sheriff John Bunnell, February 21st, 2016. Hole in one. Today. Drunk. Yes.
So relatable.
It's February 2nd, 2016. Rehash OJ. Don't think so. That's it. That's the whole thing. February 1st, 2016. Netflix, here we come! 3 exclamation points.
And who knows? That could have just been about him getting an account. Him getting a login from somebody. Sheriff John Bunnell does everything as hard as he fucking can.
Yeah, and most of his tweets, most of them, are just him out on the town with the boys having a drink. Being like, it's great hanging out with, you know, Ted. And that's it.
This sheriff thought you could substitute onion rings for a side salad at this local restaurant. What he's about to find out is that there is no substitute for honesty.
September 10th, 2015. Someone take me to sushi and buy me a beer.
That's pretty good, though, because he doesn't want sushi. He only wants beer. Again, relatable.
May 20th, 2015. Might have been a DM that went sideways. So, comma, I need to come to Toronto. Would love to meet you.
Sheriff John has mastered the indirect message. just spraying it. That's like, attention, ladies of Toronto, people of the world.
He's amazing, man.
It's like Old Dirty Bastard addressing it to all the women of the world.
Listen, you can't screenshot a DM that never gets sent.
Oh, man. So yeah, this is the absolute greatest Twitter account ever. John Bunnell, who, yes, did at one point tweet, so sexy!
So sexy!
At himself. And then probably posted 3 pictures of him at a tavern. And then something talking about how Paris Hilton is the perfect woman.
So this is the world's wildest college football weekend.
It's time to walk around Miami Stadium and get in like 7 fights and then walk inside.
January 13th, 2015. The letter S. That's it. It's just an S.
Shit. Syracuse is going to beat Wake Forest.
You say the letter?
Yeah. Now, if you're wondering, yeah, just he should have, right?
Oh man.
Let me give you a good one though. I'm gonna bring it all back in case you think this is pointless. Sheriff John Bunnell, January 1st, 2015. Okay, Ducks rule. Kick FSU. Quack quack.
He was right.
He was right.
He was nailed right. It.
Damn. And we will stay away from making law enforcement jokes about that team.
Don't know what jokes there would be to make, you know?
Yeah.
Can't think of any.
So, this week's Saturday. Get to start off with Michigan State, fresh off dragging Penn State through a swamp against Ohio State, fresh off being a swamp. And Ohio State's favored by 15 points, much to Mark D'Antonio's delight.
Oh, that's great. There's so much disrespect there.
The video came out, and he just kind of grinned, and, well, that's interesting.
I would not be surprised if Mark D'Antonio kept, like, $500,000 just to swing betting lines against Michigan State for that purpose.
Oh, he's the sharp, the ultimate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that, man, but, like, he'd always be losing. So maybe, like, 90% of his contract goes toward that.
Yeah.
He only has
yeah.
$100,000 to take home.
Yeah, this is all I need to live on.
I'm a simple man. I only need to make six figures.
You can do your grocery shopping at Home Depot if you know where to look.
Some of them do have a Wendy's inside.
A lot of the grout's non-toxic. They have to say so.
The garden section's just a produce section in development, isn't it?
That's just a two-star produce section down the road at Ann Arbor. They didn't want you, tulips. You're in East Lansing. I'll eat your entire family.
Your dinner. You're a valued member of our dinner.
I have a feeling that if I could explain Michigan State football, I could go through the statistical profile with you, but it's easier for me to say that Mark D'Antonio will pickle that. That's it. He's going to get through the winter by pickling it. What is it? Just going to pickle the football. It'll be tart. It'll be maybe not as good as the actual thing that is pickled, but it will survive the winter.
Over here in my basement, I've got a whole shelf full of pickled jars. Oh, you mean like jars with pickled food in them?
Nope.
No, I pickled the jars.
The glass gets just to the right consistency.
Coach, you eat glass?
No.
I eat pickled jars.
I eat pickled glass.
All of these punts, handcrafted and pickled. All of them. I really, like, I don't know how to tell you that they're gonna win this game.
Who's they? Michigan State?
Michigan State.
Okay.
I think they're the ultimate they in all of college football.
I don't know how to get you there. Okay.
But you're ignoring the fact that Ohio State has the human 20-sided die in JT Barrett. So yeah, if they roll critical miss, absolutely Michigan State's gonna win. 18? I mean, then they're gonna win the damn game. But you don't know. You gotta roll it out there and see what happens.
I know that overall, in terms of advanced stats, Michigan State, they're right there with, like, Florida Atlantic. Like, really, they're actually, like, right there in that tier with Florida Atlantic.
Just winning consistently, yes, we get it.
Right, just
with a flashy, attention-grabbing head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And why this game is just going to turn into the D'Antonio-ish morass that will only benefit Michigan State. If they're hanging like 13-10 in the third quarter, watch Urban Meyer's hair just slowly start to fall out.
You know what Michigan State is? It's like you have a card game. Like my daughter and I, we play a lot of the Pokemon card game, but like I'm sure the Magic and all those others have this too, where like you can lay down a card that totally changes the rules. Like in the Pokemon game, it's a stadium, and it changes. Like, oh, now all these kinds suck.
It's never a boost. It's never a buff. Michigan State is never like, oh, wide receivers all get plus. Nope, it's always minus.
Nope.
Always
it's
minus.
Always like, okay, now we're gonna take double damage, but you're gonna take triple damage. Won't that be fun?
Have you ever read Harrison Bergeron?
So the last five games in this series. Roughly, at least off the top of my head, you have 2 1-point Ohio State wins, and you have 2 times when Michigan State wrecked a all but certain Ohio State national title shot.
Well,
and we're going to take the points plus 15?
I mean, on the other hand, they're definitely not wrecking an all but certain Ohio State national title shot this time.
Ooh, the pressure's off.
So if those are the two possibilities, congratulations, Ohio State, for this narrow victory.
Okay. Well, this is the Big Ten East title game, though, so there are stakes.
Yeah, but, I mean, Wisconsin's the clear conference leader at this point. I don't see why you would question that. I don't see why you would dig into that and say that, like, maybe that's not true. The College Football Playoff Committee has run the numbers, and they have determined that Wisconsin is the best team in the conference.
if this is going to be a truly bizarre year, then what we need is we need for everyone in the Big Ten East to cause enough blood loss to each other so that by the time whatever comes into the Big Ten championship game at that point is so messed up from what they've done to each other that, you know, big old rosy cheeked, full of blood, sanguine Wisconsin, who's barely broken a sweat all year, just manages to like roll in and just have Paul Chris sitting there with like the clock on the sideline, right? Just like holding a big cartoon clock that gets the 38, right? And just running the clock and winning at something like 17-10.
The Big Ten title at this point is basically the like almost finished McMansion, and Wisconsin's going to swoop in and buy it for $200,000 and be like, hey, why is it so cheap? And they'll be like, oh yeah, Ohio State, Michigan State, murder-suicide, as it turned out.
Oh man, the Big Ten title this year is like the trick that worked really well like 10 years ago on eBay when you would just Google like typos. Like Google, like you go on eBay and search like Palm Pilot,
right?
You get a fucking cheap Palm Pilot that you can sell. That shit worked like crazy, but now there are all sorts of there are sites that do that for everybody. Lazy, yeah, spoiled the yeah. lambs. But yeah, that's what the Big Ten title is. It's more like the Borg turn title.
This is what's gonna happen when the bots win the Big Ten 4 years from now. The bots are gonna figure it out. The Russian bots. It's gonna be fun.
That probably favors Purdue, right? Engineering school?
Yeah, sort of cold and eat a lot of potatoes. That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of time we've spent on the 12-13 game. Clearly, it must be the most interesting matchup of ranked teams.
Hell no!
Oh.
No, sir.
Next up! Actually, I mean, shit, there's more in that slot alone. You got Oklahoma State, Iowa State, where if Iowa State wins, they are very much in line for the Big 12 championship because they will have the tiebreaker over whoever loses the Big 12 game later that day.
Oklahoma State and TCU.
Yeah.
Only Big Tings. Only Big Tings for Iowa State.
And they host. So... yeah, I mean, prepare for a world in which Iowa has a win over the Big 12 champion. Sorry.
The whole state of Iowa just bowing up.
Oh, goddamn state.
I'm excited for us, because this seems like a thing we would do, to make a very enthusiastic case for, like, four-loss Iowa to make the playoff.
It's getting close. I mean, if they knock off Wisconsin, let's do it.
The shutdown forecast 14 playoff as it stands. Iowa State. Iowa, let's see, Wake Forest?
And FAU, as we said.
Pitt,
there we go.
Pitt, and I think, let's invite UCF. The actual one sure as hell ain't.
No! Sure. Hey, but they get, listen, this UConn game is surely going to boost their stats, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a rivalry game!
It is a rivalry game. The committee right has said that they give bonus points for all trophies won, whether it's a conference title or a rivalry title that you can't find.
That's the best kind, right? The Ark. Nobody can find the Ark of the Covenant. That shit's valuable as hell.
The Arcane Rivalry Trophy. The Mystical Wisdom Rivalry Trophy. Legendary Rivalry Trophy.
I really enjoyed Bob Diago's honesty about that trophy and that he's ashamed of it. And that he's locked that away. And he doesn't want to admit it ever happened. The Hartford Current did a whole piece tracking down like Diaco and asking about the civil conflict trophy and finding a picture of it sitting at the end of a bench abandoned by all who had anything to do with it. And they got to Bob Diaco, who's at, I believe he's the defensive coordinator for Nebraska now. And
he is, correct.
Yeah, Diaco's like, I don't talk about it. It never happened. I don't.
How much money would you give the custodian or whoever for it, wherever it is?
$100.
That's it?
No.
Well, that's what I'm starting at. I'm not going to negotiate against myself.
I got 150 on it.
I'll do 175.
I'll do 200.
It's yours, buddy. Enjoy.
Yes. For all time, the civil conflict. Hey, if you have it, if you have the actual one, get at me, because I just set your price.
Well, and in true eBay fashion, it is kind of misspelled, so.
Perfect.
The system works all these years later. Trust the process.
You know your trophy's good when you're like, people will just remember the postal codes for these states, right? That's enough. I feel like that's enough. Idiots.
So yeah, UCF is really going to shine that resume this week because. Let's see. In the next slot, we have just a little top 10 Georgia at Auburn matchup. Just a little thing, a little small thing. Nothing. Just the number one team, and it's maybe hardest game of the year. Maybe.
Well, it's just tough because these teams play so infrequently. You know, I think Georgia leads this series 7-6 all time.
Since Auburn came over from the ACC, they've only played once.
These teams just don't know each other that well. They certainly don't have any sort of connection in terms of, like, pecking order in the academic universe or anything like that.
Yeah, and they're so far apart geographically. And also, like, their games are just really boring. And, like, you know, the favored team always wins. And, like, the decisive play is always, like, it was a field goal in the third quarter. You know, it's never, like, really crazy where you see, like, Georgia coaches, like, passing out on their faces on the field or anything like that.
Now, I do hope the Civil Conflict Trophy turns up here somehow. I hope, like, whatever team wins, they're just like, and they're rushing the field. Oh, and what's this? They're lifting the Civil Conflict Trophy. Somehow that made its way to Auburn, Alabama.
Gus Malzahn, we're here at Auburn University. Everything is civil here. It's the way we do business.
I was just trying to think, is it like the Andy Richter of trophies? We invited him on the show. He's there. It's great.
And then Bob Diaco's like, see, that proves that Connecticut and Georgia exist in the same universe. We just tied it all together.
How heated is Bob Diaco this week? Nebraska's playing Minnesota, where there's a made-up rivalry trophy people give a shit about. This is his fucking nightmare. Where did I go wrong?
The bits, the $5 bits of broken chair trophy, correct?
All he had to do was hire the internet.
Yeah, that was it. That Bob Diaco probably, he designed that trophy himself, right? That was another revelation in the Hartford Current article that Diaco had designed it himself. It's atrocious. It looks like if you could reduce a really shitty 80s office park to a Horcrux, that's what the Civil Conflict Trophy looks like, right? You're like, if you unleash the power of this, it will sprout a Cobra Office Center, right? That's what it looks like. And he's
why is
like,
there a why is there a CompUSA in this trophy? I don't get it.
There's a free CD in here. Weird. It's 20 hours of, you know, one
a free Prodigy. That's weird.
Wow. But yeah, we spent a lot of time on it, and no one liked it. And then PJ, like, some people from the internet make up like this jackass broken bits chair trophy, right? And PJ Flex, like, we're all in on it.
A fucking parody account of a coach you fired for being an asshole invented the trophy. And he didn't even make it. He just typed it and someone out there made it.
I know. And they are 100% committed to it. Like, yeah, this is great. Diaco's like, when will I be loved?
All the time. He's a beautiful man. He needs to, you know, everything's not going to go your way, buddy. You already won one lottery.
Going back to Georgia and Auburn, the newest rivalry in the South, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just completely bullish on Georgia until I don't have to be, because I don't see. I have people in my mentions going, "Oh man, you know they haven't faced anything like Auburn's defense. You think this is gonna matter? Like, really? Have you seen what Georgia does?
Well, they run the ball.
Yeah.
And if Auburn's good at anything, it's limiting the run game.
Then what does Auburn need to do to score? They need to pass.
They're gonna need some forced fumbles.
Yeah, they're gonna need. We like that. We're about 45 seconds into this, and we're already making up things.
Hey, we're running the muff punt offense. We feel that that's the best way to flip the field and really, you know, move the ball.
Boy, when one of our D linemen gets that ball, we run that wing T run back. We practice it a lot.
Yeah, I'm just not like Georgia's pass defense. A lot about oh, I don't know, about 5.3 yards. They're just not allowing a lot of anything to the air.
And well, that fits perfectly for Auburn's a perfect fit.
Auburn will take what the defense gives you. We'll give you 3 yards. Done.
Accepted.
I'll stand on 15.
I'll take your 2.5 yards. Who's the smart ass now? Of course, Jared Stidham died in the process, but.
But he got that ball off, didn't he? That's not a sack.
That's 2 yards. That's a positive play.
Listen, you can't make an 8-play, 17-yard drive omelet.
Without Jared Stidham getting sacked 94 times.
Yeah. No, Georgia's going to win. Georgia's going to win by, I don't know, 17 points.
I'll put it here. Tigers win.
Okay, sure.
Okay, cool. I like that we just made that up. Like, yeah, there's a bunch of reasons. I don't know. Jared Stidham's going to get sacked like 28 times. I just
I'm leaning on that run defense. I'm all in on that run defense. Sounds like something that would say. So whoever wins will be praised for being right.
The other Tigers in the 330 slot, Clemson. Man, Dabo Swinney is going out of his way to talk up Florida State. DeAndre Francois, that's a Heisman contender that they lost. This Florida State team, y'all, you don't want to prepare for them. Realistically, Florida State might be the greatest team with a losing record in November of all time. And now you're talking about an all-time great? You know, we got to go out there and face one of the all-time greats.
They got Deion Sanders. They got Randy Moss, led him back after the weed thing. They got Peter Warwick.
Peter Tom Willis back there. It's crazy.
You know, Chris Wenke out there shagging flies.
He's still the same age. He's still only slightly too old for this.
Think about how many houses Warwick Dunn has supplied. I've only got 2 houses. I gotta compete with that shit.
2 houses that they know about.
Wait, have we talked about Dabo's fucking castle that he bought?
Dabo bought a castle, by the way.
he bought himself a Tudor themed, a renovated Tudor themed highway like motor lodge.
Yeah, it looks like a kick-ass putt-putt arcade place.
They come up to me and they call me King Dabo. I said, I'm not King Dabo yet. I'm not even Lord Dabo. I'm only Baron Dabo for now. I got a long way to go.
Feudalism is the original assignment football.
You get one plot of land, and if the ball comes through there, I don't know, maybe it's yours.
It's just zone defense, all right? That's all feudalism is.
That's what it is.
You just stay in your zone. Or the king kills you. That will happen.
So, yeah, Clemson's going to knock Florida State to 6 losses.
You know what a stunt it is to, like, have Dabo, like, gassing up Florida State, right? Like, this is, like, me being convinced that Dabo's, like, doing what he should do as a coach by pumping him up. But also, at the same time, like, it's got to just kill Jimbo Fisher. You hear Dabo sitting there going like, no, y'all, they're real good.
Dabo talking about them the way you would if you're playing fucking Jacksonville State or something. They're a real good team for their level.
No, listen, Scattergories Jr., they got a lot of tough questions on, you know, you see the junior and you write them off, but then like they ask you, what's something you can put on a sandwich that starts with a P? And you're like, well, yeah, I guess pickle, but what else?
Man, that wee bowling, you can sprain your wrist if you don't know what you're doing.
It's your buffest friend who gets fit after working out for 2 weeks, and you like lay off for like a month and come back in, and they're like, that's real good. You benched 135 pounds, buddy.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't about the number, it was about the form. You look at this Florida State team, and no, they can't bench, but the form is there. Now, of course, the funnier outcome will be Florida State somehow upsets Clemson. Florida State fans get all Florida State-y on the internet, and then they realize they potentially rescheduled this game with Louisiana Monroe for no reason.
Then they can go 7-5. They can go 8-5.
Winning season, y'all. Winning season.
Frank Jimbo, give him an extension.
Never a doubt.
$50 million buyout. Let's do
it. Unconquered.
Keep the coaching staff.
Give them all raises. And then, yeah, Wisconsin gets to draw the ruiner of dreams and good things, Iowa.
What is our rivalry trophy here?
Is this either the Heroes Trophy or the Freedom Trophy, or it's a very post 9/11 trophy? I know that much.
It is the Heartland Trophy.
Okay, I take that back. There's so fucking many of them in that little quadrant of, what is it, the quadrangle of hate?
The Heartland Trophy is a brass bull that the winner gets.
Oh, isn't that the one that looks like they're two stadiums? Might not be. God,
no, that's Wisconsin and somebody else because they both have like military themes. I think that might be I want to say Wisconsin, Michigan State.
No, that trophy would be like the winning coach gets a punch in the face.
Well, this one, remember, it has a big old brass bull on it. Okay, but and the bull.
Oh, the bull! I thought you said bowl.
No. Bull. The bull had the bull at first, Bob Bowlsby, who now, of course, is like, you know, Bob Bowlsby. Bob Bowlsby was athletic director at Iowa in 2004, and they got the prototype back, and the guy who made it said it had some balls on it at first, and then he took it over and he showed Bowlsby, and I think it was Bowlsby who said, yeah, we can't have those balls hanging down there. And I'll never forget when the sculptor took that little X-Acto knife and just shoop. That's the exact word in the quote, by the way, is shoop.
Just listen. They said Jackie Sherrill could never find another line of work, and they were fucking wrong.
It was, and they just dropped off. We laughed about that more than not. It was pretty funny, man. So yeah, if you don't like the balls, we'll just take them off for you.
Lop.
So it is a neutered bull.
Yeah. Still got it.
I think it's Iowa, Nebraska that has the, or no.
Yeah,
Nebraska, Wisconsin has the Freedom Trophy.
Yeah,
and it features images of both teams' football stadiums with an American. You know what? Somebody just decided to make the most American, the Patriot Troops Honor Trophy. Okay, just go make that. All right. It's just 1,000 bayonets glued together. That's what it is.
And it's the troop cops memorial award. the Wahlberg trophy. It's Mark Wahlberg on his big motorcycle of freedom,
saying, "Have a nice weekend."
Have a nice weekend. Say hello to your mother for me.
But yeah, I mean, Iowa at this point has ruined Ohio State season, almost ruined Penn State season, can still ruin Wisconsin season, can always ruin Nebraska season, ruined Iowa State season, ruined Wyoming season in some sense, and, you know, because they're Iowa, ruined their own season as well.
Damn.
They're just pestilence in football form, and it's wonderful.
They're like a fucking... We love it. Blight on all the heartland crops.
Mm-hmm.
Just spreading pestilence and punts and misery.
Yeah, that's why Farrow finally gave up. Kirk Ferentz showed up, but he said, you know, we think we'd like to we'd like to
fine,
discuss.
Fine, I can't. I yield. Take them.
I'm Farrow. I'll outlast you, Kirk Ferentz, will you? You think so, huh?
He dropped 55 points on Hatshepsut. Ow!
You know, a guy named Methuselah tried that.
You know, you see the Red Sea parting.
Our fullback's going right down the middle, and we're going right behind him.
As a note, man, this night shift is heat. I'm very fond.
Boy.
Very fond of it. Just because Notre Dame at Miami, I'm really going to enjoy because the results for someone are going to be very confusing.
This actually has like all the elements for trouble because you have a bunch of people who hate each other and are convinced that they are totally different from one another, whether or not they actually are. You have the highest stakes possible. The loser of this might effectively be out of the playoff race altogether. And they've all spent a shitload of money to be here. Miami fans throw garbage on the field when it only costs $18 to get into a Miami game. The fuck are they going to do if there's a bad call in a game where they spent 10 times that to get into the game? They're going to throw an entire car. It's going to be amazing.
Gold chains flying on the field, pit bull flying on the field. Yeah, this is the game where not only do you have like ancient history for like the you know, the like the fathers of any legacy players or whatever, and like for the fans at least. And Mark Richt's got some, probably got some Notre Dame hate stored up, even though that was a little after his time. But like, they also played last year. Notre Dame was the last team to beat Miami, so like there is actually some rejuvenated rivalry angst here.
I'm really hoping for some evil Richt here. I'm really hoping for some intentional celebration penalty or some sort of massive onside kick attempt, which Miami.
They turned the turnover chain into a rosary. They did. They're saying Hail Marys out there right now just to mock them. Look at that.
I want something very unintentional, maybe too. Like maybe you turn on the sprinklers right after Notre Dame takes the field for the first time, right? Just.
Oh no, brother! Richt has nailed the 95 theses to the goalpost.
What does it say? Every Notre Dame Heisman winner is overrated. Wow. This is fact.
Salvation by faith alone, bitch. Huh.
Yeah. We had to translate it to Dade County ease. We had to translate it so that the locals would understand it. I don't get it. Do you mean it? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to beat Notre Dame, bitch. Oh, yeah.
Where three or more come together in one, there you have a conference that is actually eligible to make the playoff.
Maybe and, a criminal conspiracy.
Also a criminal conspiracy.
I do also enjoy, too, that with Miami, there is also the achievement here of that. We beat Notre Dame and we're staying undefeated. And you're like, still got to win that Atlantic division for the first time, y'all. Like,
Miami's having an amazing place. You're going to lose to Pitt and Virginia Tech's going to steal it.
You're like, that's really cool, y'all. I'm glad to beat Notre Dame. But let's buckle down and get Pitt and nail down this first division championship. That we basically created the entire conference around the concept of you being competitive in. Just do it.
People are going to be so damn confused when they hear Miami won its first what?
Now, on the other hand, the Notre Dame fans may feel oddly at home here because the stadium is named after their favorite restaurant, Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, woo. Yeesh. Damn.
Oh, yeah. Me and Sharon, we went to Paris this spring. Had a lovely meal at the Hard Rock. You ever been? Best restaurant in France. That's what I said. Richt Steves, he's a criminal. You know Richt Steves reps the U. You know Richt Steves reps the U.
Oh, no, 100%. You know why? Because Richt Steves can't return to the United States because he was arrested for importing thousands of pounds of marijuana in the late 70s. That's my theory. That, like, Richt Steves was involved in some drug ring, and that's why he's in Europe forever, right?
Just Skyping Michael Irvin. Hey, how's it going, buddy? Miss you.
Hey, yo, Ricky! My man! Man, there's no way that Richt, because Richt Steves is also super, if you know, Richt Steves is also super pro-legalization. It just makes me think, I'm like, let's see, stuck in Europe forever, super pro-legalization, like, quietly unmenacing, and you wouldn't assume it of, and I was like, oh yeah, he was totally flying planes for a cartel. No way.
Nate Newton took the fall for him, all right?
Big fall.
Big heavy fall. The other night game of interest.
And Tennessee at Missouri.
Oregon State at Arizona.
Yes.
Sorry.
You get to steal Khalil Tate against tackling dummies.
I was thinking something else. I was thinking TCU at Oklahoma.
Oh, that.
Yeah, one of those games where we go, well, it'll all work itself out, right? Because we got a couple of those, right? Like Notre Dame, Miami. Ah, that'll work itself out. Somebody's picking up a loss here, right? It's Notre Dame. We can just forget about putting them in the Final Four, right? Start scouting out a lovely Florida Bowl game for them to, pick up and just junketize. Nope. Miami stays undefeated or picks up a loss and things get real confusing for them. Well, TCU, Oklahoma. There's another one of these nice little knockouts. It's very pleasant because both these teams, again, both of them have a loss to Iowa State, the most important team in college football. And one of them will have a loss after this.
This so is the Iowa third place match.
At one point, an athletic department will just attempt to pay a coach not to work.
Yeah, Notre Dame has done that twice.
Yeah, okay. rephrase, ahead of time. They'll just pre-fire, right? Like, that's really what, like, Florida should probably do with several coaches, right? Is just pay them not to go there, right? Like, okay, cool. I don't know. If Jimbo Fisher leaves Florida State and Willie Taggart comes rolling in, we should just pay Willie Taggart, like, $20 million a year to not coach at Florida State. Not work there.
Oh, like keep him on retainer.
Right, yeah.
No. Just to take him off the market, right? Like, you know, you could work really hard for $10 million. How would you like to not work for $15?
That's a damn good deal. Think about it.
Yeah.
It's not the worst idea you proposed.
No. I've proposed much stupider.
You still have time on this podcast to propose further. I mean, are you saying we should not care about Alabama at Mississippi State at all? Because it sounded like that's what you were saying.
Oh, no, not at all.
So my favorite fact about this game, there is a scenario in which this is Bama's best win of the regular season. A regular season that included Florida State and a trip to Auburn.
And LSU.
And LSU and all the normal stuff.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. That's wild. Like, so Mississippi State probably projected to finish 9-3, and they're already number 16, which is a little confusing. You know, they've won comfortably, but okay, fine.
Let it happen.
So let's say Auburn loses badly to Georgia. We already know Auburn's winning. And let's say Auburn loses real badly to Bama. And, you know, Auburn slips down a little bit with four losses. Mississippi State finished 9-3. Bama's best win in Mississippi State.
Workmanlike. That's what I think that is. Workmanlike.
I don't know how this manages to happen, but we always say that, you know, oh, man, what gives Alabama trouble is a mobile quarterback.
Well, we say that in the way that it's like the flu kills people. And yes, the flu does, but most people it doesn't. Alabama faces a lot of mobile quarterbacks that it doesn't lose to.
Yeah, it's like, you know, driving a car straight off a cliff tends to be bad for you. You're probably going to handle that guardrail, though.
Yeah, but like Mississippi State always has a quarterback who's just slow enough to get himself in trouble against the Alabama defense, right? It's never like Deshaun Watson or Manziel, right? Or I don't know, Baker Mayfield would probably do real well against them, right? You know, even Trevor, you look back at quarterbacks who gave Alabama trouble, and all of Mississippi State's quarterbacks are just big and slow enough in the fast quarterback category to get themselves into real trouble, right?
Mississippi State is the car you start out with when you buy a racing game. You're like, okay, well, I guess I got to save up some money and upgrade because I can't be winning races with this Mississippi State. That's not going to happen.
This Ford Focus ST's got to get me to the next. And to be honest, I'm going to turn damage off.
We have some ad reads to do before we get there. We have totally passed over the most important revenge game on this schedule. Do either of you know which one it is?
Most important revenge game?
Look through this schedule. Look through and say, like, oh, we all remember how important this game was last year.
UNC Pitt.
Kansas at Texas.
Oh, yes. Texas is – well, Texas won last year, right?
Surely no!
Texas... No!
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 That's no,
wild.
They did not. No, they did not.
What sport is this?
I was going to say, this is on something called – I mean, it's on LHN, right? But it's also on Jayhawk TV, which I just imagine to be that satire channel that, like, they always show on Saturday Night Live, and they're like, what is German television? And it's like, the child is in trouble. The child is sad!
Jayhawk TV is if you just go to Bill Self's house, he'll let you in.
Jayhawk TV is that article that's floating around this week about, like, YouTube bots are rearranging your child's mind by shooting Peppa the Pig in the face.
Jayhawk TV is Jason Whitlock's website. Spencer, please, you've been assigned all the ad reads this week because I'm a dick. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get those done.
All of the ad reads that we are providing this week are not, of course, sponsors. They're sponsors of charity. They are readers, listeners, participants in the Shutdown Fullcast community who have kindly given us funds for our efforts to support disaster relief across Puerto Rico, Florida, Texas, anywhere affected by hurricane season. The First one this week is from Charlie. The best C-Lab 2021 episode was Martian Law. Go Big Red. Okay. I mean, I think that's valid. It's not my favorite C-Lab episode.
What's your favorite?
My favorite one is Season 1, Episode 5, Lost in Time, where Captain Murphy creates an awful time loop, a reality-distorting time loop, because he sends Quinn and Stormy out to pirate Cable and blows up the station the entire episode, like several times, until members of the crew are further mutated into, like, they keep piling up, like, horrible, more mutated versions of the other. So that would be my favorite, is Lost in Time.
I would pick Tin Fins, but that's because I like all the Grizzlebees cutaways. Grizzlebees! You'll wish you had less fun!
I think that's a quality. I think we all make good picks there, okay, for best C-Lap episode. The next is from Zach. And these next ones are going to be uncomfortable for me, but I do this for the cause. From Zach, I'm Zach Gerbeck, and I think Spencer doesn't love cheese as much as Jim McElwain doesn't love sharks. I read it. Doesn't mean I have to validate it.
Have you fucked cheese before?
No, hasn't happened. Hasn't happened.
Know that you didn't say it wouldn't happen, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'll do a lot for charity. Is what I'll say.
You heard it, folks.
From Julia. If possible, I would like for Spencer to say on air that cheese is delicious. I just said it. I read it. It's part of that sentence. So I don't have to say it. Because I just said it. Julia.
How much cheese is in your house at a given time?
We usually have some of those little baby bells.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because kids like those. So we'll usually have a bag of those on hand. And that's usually about it. Okay. And usually my wife has some bag of something really horrible smelling that she'll put on, I don't know, like an Asiago or Parmesan, right? Which are the worst, because the minute they hit heat, they just start emitting all of that barnyard cow ass stink into the air.
Where cheese comes from, as we all know.
Cows shit it out. This man's definitely picking Wisconsin to lose. Now, in the great pizza war of 2K17, does your cheese phobia sway your allegiance at all? Because as we all know, the extremely woke Pizza Hut has higher cheese content than other brands, lesser brands.
That's why Spencer only eats crazy bread.
No, that's why I go Domino's thin crust, because it's just like, that's barely food. Like, there's mostly air, right? It's like mostly air and a couple of slices of meat, and then like maybe a thin strata of cheese on top of it, and it's all mozzarella, which is supposed to be buffalo milk, but I assume industrial mozzarella is actually just reconstituted Starbursts. Right?
It's all lemon for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's not actual food, right? Domino's is going to have to do another one of those mayo ads where they come out in like 5 years and they're like, I'm sorry, we've been serving you shredded cars. Rebuilt his pizza.
They rehired Dave Brandon just to kick him back to the curb. It was all Dave Brandon's fault.
He thought we should start serving plastic on our pizza instead of cheese. We're sorry for that.
I mean, Michigan might want to adopt that strategy too.
That's fine.
We've rehired Dave Brandon after the Maryland loss. We have fired Dave Brandon after the Maryland loss.
Yay, everyone's happy now.
Get out on him.
We have one more, and that's Lieutenant Winslow. For some reason, I'm supposed to say this. Nobody likes Aaron Weisberg. There you go.
That's true.
Those are our reads.
Who's that?
We don't know. No context was given. That's the best part.
Doesn't matter. We were. They told us to read it, and we did.
Okay.
I do want to focus on one other game FAU plays Louisiana Tech this week. That's right. We've got Lane Kiffin versus Skip Holtz. And yes, I dubbed this game the Sun Bowl. That's what it is.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.